Welcome back to the Inside Pass News 24's daily dedicated Rugby World Cup podcast. My name is Lloyd Bernard. We are just three sleeps away from South Africa, France on Sunday, the quarterfinal of the Rugby World Cup. It's as big as it gets. It's the biggest weekend of Rugby World Cup so far. Might be the biggest weekend of Rugby World Cup the whole way through, given the quarterfinals that we have. I'm joined again in studio by Haman Mossad. Morning, Haman.
Good morning, Lloyd.
How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Good, good, good. Three more sleeps, the biggest game of the tournament so far for South Africa. Geez, it's there's a bit of bants in the media already. Some mind games happening, you know, between the coaches, exchanging a few verbals there overnight, which was quite fun to read. And yeah, still no team from the Springboks. That's coming on Friday still. You know, reports that they're toying with the idea of a 7-1, which we find unlikely. But it's all happening. And a lot of chat about the game. I think the excitement is building.
Yeah, three sleeps, like you said. I think the Boks are nervous. I think both camps are nervous. If you look at some of the quotes that have come out in the presses, the Springboks have hinted that the French sort of aggravate tackle when the opposition tackle them a bit too high. They sort of fake an injury almost to try and gain sympathy from the referee.
Yeah.
And then obviously the forwards coach from France, William Servat, hit back yesterday in the presser, saying that the Boks are vicious. You know, I'm not sure if some of that may have been lost in translation. You know, the French aren't always very good when they have to express themselves in English.
Yeah.
But yeah, look. But I think it spices things up nicely. You know, this World Cup has been very much, apart from Ian Forster criticizing the style of play in the Ireland South Africa game. You're saying it wasn't as much a spectacle as the New Zealand Italy match was, which was obviously so one sided, almost 100 points for the All Blacks.
Yeah,
there hasn't really been you know, a bit of animosity between the rival team coaching staffs, you know, so maybe it's good. Maybe it's going to spice things up a bit. You know, it can't always be, you know, nice. Everyone's always nice with each other. You know, it's a big game for both teams, you know. I still think it's, you know, for France, it's going to be a catastrophe if they lose this match.
Yeah, geez. I mean, 4 years of build and the hope of a nation. I want to change pace a little bit today. It's been a fantastic tournament in France. You know, the crowds have been superb, I think. Even for those smaller games, you've seen them get behind the Portugals and the, you know, Tongas. I mean, just fantastic crowds in those stadiums throughout the tournament, and looks like the country's embraced it, and it's certainly been a great product that I think has been hosted very, very well. And obviously the interest in South Africa has been huge. You know, I mean, we've been, you know, building up to this for 4 years. South Africa's defending champions. What the Boks have done for the country is obviously immense, and you know, there's definitely this kind of support that you feel everywhere you go for the Springboks. But at the same time, I mean, as we sit here talking, in India, the Proteas are playing in a Cricket World Cup, and it just feels like that one slipped under the radar. Yes, you know, your cricket fans know what's going on, your diehard fans know what's going on, but in a South African contest, there doesn't seem to feel that you know, overwhelming sense of unity and support behind the Proteas at the moment. And I feel it's a bit sad for them, actually. I mean, they're also out there, you know, representing their country at a World Cup. For these players, for your Rassie van der Dusens, for your Quinton de Kock, this is it. You know, this is the last one, the last chance they'll have to do this. So it feels a bit sad. I mean, your take on that, do you also agree that it feels like, you know, that momentum and national kind of support isn't quite there at the moment?
Yeah, it does feel that way, you know, especially with people that I've spoken to. No one seems to care about that the cricket's on at the moment. Maybe if the Boks somehow end up losing on Sunday, which we obviously don't want, maybe the attention will shift a bit more to the cricket. But I think it's a bit of, you know, maybe this tournament, the popularity of it being a victim of the times, you know, it's, there have been talks that this could be the very last ever 50 overs cricket World Cup.
And yeah,
T20 cricket around the world has seemingly just killed the longer versions of the game. Mm. And I mean, there's even talks now of, you know, international cricket, even international T20 cricket being put on the back burner for the franchise system across the world. You know, there's all sorts of T20 franchise leagues around the world. Obviously, the SA20 that we have here now,
yeah,
which was really popular at the beginning of this year, did really well. So you'd think that's going to be an annual thing now. So it's almost like I've read a few reports, a few columnists wrote reports on saying that cricket could now become like soccer or football, in the sense that you've got the club system that basically dominate, and then you've got the odd international match here and there, and then obviously every 4 years you've got a few, or every 2 years actually, you've got the Euros and you've got the FIFA World Cups.
Yeah.
But between that, you know, that the international cricket almost would then be put on the back burner for the sake of obviously the IPL, which is the biggest, and then but all these T20 leagues around the world. And because of all that, yeah, you know, there's not really, is there really a market still for 50 overs cricket? And I think that's what ties into it. You know, I think if you look at, I mean, there's at the moment, I'm not sure a lot of people actually know, but at the moment there's the South African franchise, it's not the franchise system anymore. The provinces are playing their 50 over one day cup competition.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I mean, there's almost no interest in that, you know, like the news media barely cover that anymore as well, because the interest isn't there. So I think it's, I wouldn't want to say it's harsh to probably say that the popularity of cricket has died in this country, because if you look at numbers wise, it's probably the same as it has ever been, you know, especially if you look at the heydays of the 90s, you know, it's still a very popular sport amongst, you know, there's still all the clubs, you know.
And it's thriving still at school level. Yeah, I mean, schoolboy cricket and schoolgirl cricket is thriving, you know, it's still a very popular sport. At that level, you've seen the crowds even in India. Obviously, that India game, they packed out the stadium, and that was something to see. But generally, I mean, even the tournament opener that we saw, that was England, New Zealand, you know, in a big stadium like that. I think how many people were there? I can't remember, but it was noticeable, you know. I mean, there were more empty seats than there were people.
No, that was a massive stadium. I think the capacity is like close to 150,000.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But even then, you know, I think that stadium wasn't even 10% full, and that was a dress rehearsal or not a dress rehearsal, but it was a replay of the World Cup final.
Yeah, it was the defending champions in the first game, replay of the 2019 final, and that was immediately, I think, alarm bells ringing for the competition when you saw that on day one, and you went, you know, what's going on here? I mean, if you're not going to pack out a stadium in India, for a game of that magnitude, then where will you?
I mean, if there's ever a cricket mad country, then that's India. You know, they're by far and away the most cricket loving country in the world.
But I agree with the format. Obviously, is struggling at the moment. 50 over cricket. I mean, if this was a T20 World Cup, you would imagine that all the games would be packed in India, because we've seen what they do for the IPL. They really embrace overseas players in India as well. They love seeing the best of the best operating. But you know, this is a long day. This is you know, these day-night games for them, they're still in their working hours, I suppose, you know, the early starts. Maybe just a full day out of the cricket isn't something they can manage at the moment. But we'll see. Hopefully, as we go along on the tournament, we'll see more fans kind of coming in. Rugby gets it right, though. I mean, you talk to me about that balance between international and club, because, I mean, rugby, as big as the club systems are, and they are thriving leagues all over the world, Japan, Europe, you know, France and your URC and your South African franchises. But, you know, they kind of seem to have that balance between club franchise rugby and international rugby right across the across the board. I suppose it's simplified by the fact that there's not three formats of rugby that you're trying to accommodate.
Luckily, sevens rugby isn't as popular, or it's not really a threat to the 15-man game as T20 has been for the other two formats.
Yeah. So that's interesting. But back to the Proteas. I mean, you know, if we look at the interest in South Africa, and if it's waned a bit, you know, Cricket South Africa also, I think, has to accept some responsibility here. And I think they do. You know, the current leadership, I mean, they've had a pretty rocky time of it for the last kind of 4 or 5 years. If you go back to the Tabang Moro era, you know, losing sponsorships, the butchered, you know, global T20 league, the administrative issues, they've had CEOs coming and going, sponsorships dying, sponsors leaving, you know, lack of crowd attendance, the SJN process that happened, and how messy that got, you know, everything that surrounded Smith and Boucher and how they ended up leaving. It's been a rocky road for Cricket South Africa, and I feel like under Poletsi Moseki now, there's a bit of stability that's back in the product. It's going to take some time to repair the damage that's happened and to start restoring the faith of the public and the corporate spheres. But I feel like there's finally some stability with, you know, the CEO, with the new look executive and governance model that they have with the board, and, you know, importantly with Enoch and Queer, and then two coaches underneath that, a white ball coach and a test coach. There's some stability there with capable cricket people in the right positions. But I suppose it's going to take some time to kind of, you know, restore the public faith.
Yeah, look, the bar wasn't set very high, so it's not going to be that hard for them to improve on what was happening, what was going on. But one thing that they have done is, like you've said, the structure that they've brought in. And it's good that they separated, with Shukri Conrad obviously being the test coach, and Walter now with the one-day team. And yes, what I've seen from the new CEO and what I've read from him, he sounds like it's definitely an improvement. You know, there seems to be more organization around the whole package. But yeah, there is a very negative sentiment out there amongst the public on cricket in general in this country. We can see it in our comment section on News 24. You can see it from, you know, just chatting to people. And I think another thing about this is, especially in this country, is the fact that we've got, you know, a pretty poor record at World Cups. You know, the Proteas have never made a World Cup final before. And obviously, there's that bogey thing, but people are still calling them chokers.
Yeah.
And you have the rugby team who have won 3 World Cups, and they're also playing at the moment. So obviously, I think that's going to take preference. But yeah, maybe they'll surprise a few people. You know, if they beat Australia today, they had a good win against Sri Lanka. I'm not sure about the bowlers, but if we can notch a few wins, because remember at the last World Cup in England, we lost our first 4 matches almost in a row, didn't we? So we were out of that tournament very, very early.
Yeah,
I remember towards the end of it, we actually started playing better when we actually beat Australia just before before they went into the semis. So looks like hopefully we can start better this time around, and maybe the public will start getting into it, you know.
Yeah.
But I think the expectation isn't very high.
Yeah.
People sort of don't expect. So maybe in a way that could be a good thing for them, because the pressure's off, you know.
Yeah,
in years gone by, a lot of people had a lot of hope that they could actually win, and then they obviously didn't. So.
Mm. My first heartbreak in life was 99. I think a lot of people our age will remember that day all too well. I remember it like it was yesterday, sitting there in the lounge in tears. Heartbroken, and nothing was ever the same after that. Yeah, with Proteas,
I think that was a curse for a lot of people in this country.
Yeah, they've come close a few times. 2015, they had a very good team out there as well, and it's never quite worked. It does help, you know, when you're a winning team, and the Boks, you know, have been the kind of flagship, you know, successful sporting team of South Africa for the last 4 years. 2019 was spectacular. What they did for this country in 2019 was immense. Everything that followed, the celebrations around the country, every corner of the country coming together and supporting this team that has pulled together, that has transformed, that represents South Africa in a way like other sporting teams don't. It's got everything going for it, but it's all based on the fact that they're a winning team. And the Proteas aren't. And in big games over the years, when it's mattered most, they have not delivered the goods.
Yeah.
And it's really that simple. And I agree with the fact that this time flying under the radar perhaps might work in their favor. It's also a very different format to a Rugby World Cup. You play 9 pool games, so it's a long tournament. So you're not going to know, even if you lose now. It's not like your tournament's over. That's why I think, you know, the win over Sri Lanka and Markram's heroics and 3 centuries in 1 game was a huge result for them. But it doesn't really mean anything in the broader context of the World Cup because they still have to do so much and win so many games before they make a semi-final. So yeah, a lot of cricket to be played. I think they've got the team. We're hearing a lot about their top 6, and you know, on the day, if that top 6 comes off, they can, you know, really damage any bowling attack in the world. And yeah, hopefully as we go, a few wins under the belt, and the Rugby World Cup's not going to be around forever. It's going to end, and this thing's still going to be going on, and hopefully we see South Africa come together. We do it well. I mean, if you look at Banyana now, at the Soccer World Cup, you know, South Africa kind of came together and supported that team because they were winning. So yeah, maybe some hope for the Proteas.
Yeah, even with the women's team making the final earlier this year at Newlands in the T20 World Cup for the women, there was, you know, that some decent crowds that we actually saw in that tournament. So it could happen. It's the second time the World Cup is like this now. 2019 was also when there's 10 teams and everyone praised everyone. It's almost like a league. It's not really a World Cup. You know, it's not a,
yeah,
like you're not used to World Cups. You know, obviously used to World Cups being pools, and then obviously the winners and runners up of every pool then go through to a knockout, maybe a Super 6. So for me, I'm still in two minds as to whether I actually like this format.
Yeah.
But it is a format that's going to reward the best team. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah. But yeah, like you said, maybe it can count in their favor. It's not you're not going home if you lose 1 or 2 games. So I mean, you could possibly lose 4 matches and still sneak into the semifinals in 4th spot and still end up winning the tournament. So
yeah,
there's a lot to build on for them.
Yeah, come on, South Africans, start believing in the Proteas. It's a long tournament, and they're going quite well at the moment. It looks like they're, what is that, 50-odd for nothing against the Aussies. So off to a good start. This really a huge game, and hopefully they can get this one under the belt and keep going. But we'll be watching. We've got a Heinz Schenk is in India for us, covering this tournament and doing a fantastic job. He's been writing some great stuff. We have a Cricket World Cup hub with all of your results and the logs and all of your news coming out of the Proteas camp. We'll be covering today's game and every South African game that comes after this, and hoping that the Proteas can surprise the nation and make a real play at a World Cup semi-final spot, and that, you know, along the way, South Africans start really showing their support for this team that really needs the support given what is a very tough tournament ahead. This has been the Inside Pass. Tomorrow we're going to have the Springbok team announcement for a huge Rugby World Cup quarterfinal against France this weekend. New Zealand, Ireland, the other main event blockbuster fixture for the weekend. We'll be bringing you all of that on our site. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been the Inside Pass. Cheers. I'm not afraid of the dark.